B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
We do matter.
What are we doing here? I really am starting to
Dalmar,
think.
Just the magic plays.
So, Philly special. What's the magic play?
Ones that work. That's why it's magic. The ones that work.
Like, Jeff asked a legit question, and I think Jeff does a great job. Really?
He's never going to get a serious answer from here on out,
it
seems like.
You're going to push all that? You're going to push that aside?
Poo-pooed it.
Why?
That's a very good question, because Doug always talks about self-evaluation.
All right, now, you mentioned Frank Reich a lot. Now, obviously, the thing that's been missing here has been Frank Reich the last year plus now, right?
It is the common denominator.
Common denominator is not here anymore. It had a lot to do with game plan scheme and all that. But let's go beyond that a little bit, since we can't go back and hire Frank Reich. I mean, one thing I will say is...
This is all the Patriots' fault. Stupid Josh McDaniels.
Oh, yeah, not turning down the job in Indianapolis. But let's look at this. So, Doug Peterson doesn't have that angel on his shoulder, so to speak, for lack of a better term, helping him with the game plan going into games. But also, Carson was coming off the injury last year. Didn't look like the same Carson Wentz, as we've talked about many times. Still, Carson, I guess, not playing the preseason, as we talked about with Donovan on Monday. He's still knocking some of the rust off. We got to be patient. That's also a common denominator in all this. But you're right. If you just look at who's not here anymore, that's Frank Reich. So, what do they do? Instead of having Frank Reich, they take a guy with about 4 or 5 years of NFL experience as a whole in Mike Groh, and they say, hey, wide receiver coach, guess what? You're now running the offense. You're now the offensive coordinator. Deuce Daly, who had a decade-long career, whatever it might have been, had some success, by the way. You're going to be the head coach. You're going to be the assistant head coach as opposed to the offense coordinator. And Deuce gets passed over again for a better job, basically. Is the biggest mistake that the Eagles have made that we haven't really gotten into a lot, hiring Mike Groh over Deuce Daly?
Tough to know for sure, but
of course,
surface level, it doesn't look great.
No, it doesn't. Not even a little bit. And that's to me is a huge concern, because now going into your second year, now you've had this second year, you've had two games under your belt, and I'm seeing the same problems as I saw last year. I'm seeing the same problems of not being able to get out of the gate early, not being able to drive the ball down the field early, not being able to move that football early in games. And I know Donovan said to us on Monday, it's all about knocking the rust off. You have a quarterback who hasn't played preseason the last 2 years. He was dealing with the injury where it was on his mind throughout last season because of the knee brace. And now this year is his first time really being healthy. Can he go out there and sling it? Well, what I've seen so far, yeah, he had a good, second half. And good all but the first 21 minutes of the game against the Redskins, and then it starts out slow again. Not just slow, but just looks abysmal in the early goings of this Falcons game. So at what point is the offense coordinator and the head coach going to get on the same page where they're going to devise a game plan that actually makes this team go from the get-go? Because you can't have the most, opportune time for a coach to have an impact on a game. When you talk about a game plan, scheming, Trey, you would think that their game plan and their scheme, they'd have the other team figured out enough to the point where they would have something that would work in the early goings of the game and not basing everything on adjustment.
Yeah, it's just, I'm telling you, I think what's been going on is that the run game just hasn't been as effective as you want it. And then, you, of course, when you bring Carson back, you want to show him off, man. You want to get him out there. Hey, man, hey, this is your team. Let's make some plays. Go out there. I mean, you got all these receivers out here. Hey, we like to see balls fly. Look at that pretty ball up there. Look at the spiral on it. Mm-hmm. You want to see that. But you need to be more effective when it comes to the run blocking. Big guys, you're going to have to come on.
Trey, is Miles Sanders worthy of the number one running back spot right now?
I don't know. I haven't seen that much of him to say, all right, hey, he's going to be over Jordan.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. I'm gonna answer that question too. Again, 1 year after high school,
because he missed some blocks.
No,
yeah, he's missed some blocks. I mean, but Sproles missed some blocks too.
Yeah,
I watched it.
But Jordan Howard, it appears, has been the most productive back, both in terms of picking up blitzes and actually just getting yards. Is there something I'm missing as to why he's not the primary back right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just this running back by committee thing that they're running. But I would say if I were to say okay, you're the guy, I would go Jordan. Jordan, you're our guy. Then you bring Miles Sanders in.
You can bring him along slowly. Yeah.
Bring him along. You still have Sproles that's right there. That's going to be your punt return guy and somebody that you splash in there every now and then. But you need a big back that's going to get you those tough first and second downs, especially so you can be a little bit more effective when you're running mostly inside zone plays anyway. The one particular play where you ran the where are my notes? There was one big play where I think it was JP got called for holding and Lane got called for holding. Well, it was because Sanders, the play was supposed to cut up behind JP. Instead, he tried to bounce it like he's still in college, and now you get a holding call on JP and both Lane instead of just bouncing it right up in between. It was a trap play where they sent JP across the line to make this trap, but Sanders bounced it outside, and you know it was all off. Instead of just sticking with the block, blocking and cutting behind JP and getting upfield.
If you're the coach on the sideline, Trey, uh-huh. Who's your number one running back right now?
I go Jordan.
I don't see how you can't go Jordan. Like, I was impressed as anybody else was in the preseason with Miles Sanders and his quickness and training camp and all that. But there's a reason why we weren't talking about Alshon Jeffrey during the preseason either.
Right.
It's because he's a proven commodity. Jordan Howard's a proven commodity. He didn't come here and get worse. You didn't trade for a guy to come here and be worse than what he was doing in Chicago. You know what you have. He should be getting the majority of the carries. Miles Sanders is a guy you sprinkle in, and like you said, Jamie, you work him into the game plan. But I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. You also see he seems more than anybody like the type of guy, the way he runs, the way he gets extra yards after he gets hit, that if you're going to go to the running game even more, he's your 15 to 20 carry guy that you don't have to worry about, that might get stronger as the day goes on. One of the little things I was just looking up, maybe you do a little tweak also. They've won the open, and this is, think with me here, they won the opening toss both games and deferred. And Trey made a great point that you want that defense out there because everybody's hyped up at the beginning of the game. They've also gotten behind first series of the game. A field goal one game, a touchdown the other game. Well, now that you're putting your offense out there, are you more hyper like, oh, we're playing from behind already, throw? Maybe if you win the coin toss, you take the ball. And you feel better in the nothing game, giving the running game a try. Yeah. I don't know, just trying something
just
different.
Change it up.
Yeah, just like thinking out the box a little bit.
I'm getting a tweet from Bob saying, "Dude, we lost one game."
No, this is
dating back. No one's jumping off a bridge here. No one's jumping off the bandwagon. But when you look back over the last, 20-some games here, there's been an issue starting out fast.
Games has been
18
bad.
Games.
What we're talking about are things that keep showing themselves. So, I know we lost one game, but there's certain things that continue to be a problem. And as you continue to progress, how long do you think Carson Wentz can last taking these types of hits?
Well, that's the other facet of it. Not just not blocking, but you have a guy that has been taking a bit. He took a beating Sunday. The first week wasn't as bad, but he needs all the help he can get.
Real quick, I tell you, listen to SM5, The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast, 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster and a bag at yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. Yeah, it's the recurring problem.
Yeah, but Detroit's not going to have as good of a front four as Atlanta does. Like, they're probably very underrated in terms of the league. That's a very good, quick, and front four. So, it changes week to week, but I just thought in particular Sunday, Jordan Howard's the better option there when you needed all the help blocking you could get.
And if the Cowboys continue with this fine cake schedule that they have.
Which they will.
This tweeter also hits me up. Bob hits me up and just says, we're going to do this after all five losses. Well, five losses might be your first round bye.
It
might cost you that. Considering how the Cowboys are playing right now.
By the way, did you see the Cowboys are a 21.5-point favorite?
Yeah.
The Patriots are also, I believe, a 22.5-point favorite. Only the second time in NFL history that there has been two 20-plus-point favorites in the same weekend.
Before I go any further, after watching this film, man, Brandon doggone Brooks, man.
What happened?
Coming off Achilles, dude, he has been balling.
Yeah.
To be someone to come up, you coming off of an Achilles injury, and you're not even, he played the entire game. And has been balling.
He's a warrior. He's an absolute warrior.
I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow.
Now, you also, by the way, you drew this up.
So I just drew this up. That's why I was a little quiet at the time while we were talking. So I'm like, no, I got to draw this up real quick. Just so you can see, all right, this is all you got to do. I mean, with the formation like this, check. Hey, Lane, you go out there, you block that widest DN that's standing up. That is not linebackers, that's a DN. Hey, the defensive tackle that's lined up over Lane, hey, Big Brandon, you go take care of him. Kelsey, you go up to either one of those two that come up there. Ertz, check, check. Hey, you go take that, take that. I don't know if that's a safety or whatever that is. That's a little lower than the deepest guy. I need you to take an inside route there. You take care of him. Backside, Big Isaac and JP, y'all take care of those two. Let's give Sproles the ball right up the middle. There you go, 10 yards. Receivers need to come in and do their job. But, I mean, come on. That's right there.
This is a perfect play call by you. It's a perfect audible by you. Going to Sproles to run up the middle on this play. Now, as the play develops, and for the record, it's a 3rd and 10 with the Eagles down 10-3 with 1:51 left in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So going into halftime, you have an opportunity to get a first down here. There's at least 10 yards there for Darren Sproles if he runs a draw.
Absolutely.
Now, if you don't recognize that, and you at least want to see if you have the play down the sideline where he goes to Mac Hollins, which ended up being incomplete, if you just want to see if that play develops, all right, maybe Carson's feeling it a little bit. Maybe he thinks that play is going to be the one to turn things around for him. So he snaps it, pocket collapses. You have to know Sproles is running that little route out of the backfield mm-hmm. where he's going to be right across the middle for you. And Jamie, as you highlighted earlier, that's a little dump off.
Yeah.
That's a little flick of the wrist over the offensive line, over the line of scrimmage.
You see Roethlisberger and Wilson do that play all the time.
But
they see it develop, and it's just like a little alley-oop pass. Like, here you go. Go make something happen.
But it seemed like once he lost a lot of – once he found out that, okay, hey, Jack is gone, D-Jack is gone, hey, Alshon is gone, he started staring down his guys.
Yeah, he didn't even look at him.
Yeah, he didn't even look at Sproles. He was just like, hey, I need to go right. And now I drew it up this way because...
Which is weird, Trey, because week one he talked about how Doug wanted him to really look at his checkdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it seems when you lose all your receivers, you're like, hey, I gotta find somebody.
Well, Sproles is probably one of the better options you had out there, right?
Absolutely, but I mean, he didn't have a chance because the way they ran this delayed TE. Now, the reason I drew it up this way is because they ran a TE over the left side. So if JP goes up and that end loops around, Isaac is right there to take on that loop in the end. You know what I'm saying? So it's perfect for what was presented to them. But now, which ended up being, on this particular play, it ended up being a big hit on him. And then, you know, and then, of course, it was out of bounds. It became 4th and 10. I would have taken my chances and gotten some yards up the gut of it and ran the ball, but, you know.
It looks almost as easy as the old, what's-his-face film where he goes, seal here, seal here. All they had to do was seal on each side, right, Chuck?
Mm-hmm.
And then you had like, a beautiful run up the middle right there.
Vince Lombardi.
Yeah, Vince Lombardi. I don't know. His name just escaped. His Italian name just escaped my head. I'm not sure what it is.
Miss Cousy. Trey, again, you're just looking for magic plays.
It's
a magic play to me if you throw that ball to Darren Sproles or at least let him run up the middle.
A 25-yard pickup on 3rd and 10 while you're driving before the half? Yeah, that would be a magic play,
yeah,
Mark.
Take that.
These are getting all
But I'm guaranteeing you now,
terms.
They're going to sit back and they're going to look at this and they're going to say, all right, hey, this is a play where you can check out of this. Or we got to know, like, hey. And then, too, like, I'm looking at, all right, the center has the power to change the play based off of what he sees. Kelsey has his head up the entire time.
What did he see?
I don't know.
Is Kelsey going to tell Carson to check it down or, you know, change the play?
He should.
He could say 43. You know, just something as simple as that. And
you know,
the linebacker was what, Trey? He was a good 12 yards back.
The linebacker's gone.
Yeah.
And he was the one with running back responsibility on the play.
Yeah.
And I know we're hyper-criticizing
right now we're just being extreme, extreme situations.
Uh-huh. But Carson missed a very obvious big game play there.
Yeah.
Right.
And at a time you were desperate for plays.
But for instance, like a catcher in baseball calls the pitches.
Yeah.
Right? But the catcher has to know. It's your ERA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in this case, overruling power, I assume, would go to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Yes. But in a perfect world, if you're training your players the way you want them to, your center should have the authority to say, hey, you know what? Let's run this.
Mm.
But, you know, with it being in a gun, I don't know what the clock situation is.
Yeah.
They ran what was called.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you know, what it is. But I'm just saying, in a perfect world, that's how you train it. You want yours because they're sitting in the meeting rooms together. They're going over all of these formations and blitzes mm-hmm. and all of that together. So if this was shown before on film, it should have been, hey, let's run this.
All right. Now,
but, you know, why y'all, everybody getting quiet on me now?
Oh, I'm just agree with you. I'm listening to you.
Totally agree.
Trey, we have a thirst for knowledge and you're spitting knowledge right now.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that both of them, you know, but this should have been a check. It could have been a run. I mean, you know.
Now, when you're reviewing the game film, Trey, how does it does it go? I mean, I know the coaches lead the film study there. Is that something where it's more on the players to kind of be like, oh, I missed something there? Like, or is that the coach being like, guys, you know?
The coach is going to have to say it.
Okay.
The coach has to say, hey, man, you know, you probably should have checked here, or you should have done something. Because at the end of the day, you're only doing what your coach do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Now, you may get up there and see something and you check out of it or whatever
it is.
Like,
is Carson grabbing the clicker at times to be like, hey, you know, like maybe this here, that something we can look at later?
Possibly. When you're sitting down and you're breaking down the film with your coach, uh-huh. and you could possibly be like, hey, coach, man, is it a good time for me to do this particular play?
Here's what I saw, but I should have seen this.
Do I have the freedom to say, hey, you know what? I know we called a pass. It's 3rd and 10. I know that. But given what I saw, should I call a run here?
Mm-hmm.
And if they give you the green light, all right, check. Next time, you go from there. But, you know...
It's a big play. They're down 10-3 at that point. Yeah. They have an opportunity to maybe go into halftime with some momentum, maybe another score, at least another field goal, which they ended up getting a little bit later in that half because they were only down 4 at halftime. But it was an opportunity to extend a drive, basically.
Yeah. And I just had one of my center friends just text me and say, yeah, they got to get out of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How long did this guy play in the league?
Several years.
Maybe he's still in it.
Was he named after maybe a dessert or a breakfast treat?
No.
Okay. Just making sure.
Is his first initial the same as his last initial?
No, I'm not going to talk about that.
I love that. One of my center friends.
That I battled with for several years.
So. That's a pretty smart player.
Yeah, it's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Let's get to Chuck in North Carolina. What's up, Chucky?
I am not freaking out. I actually am not. Unfortunately, I only got to watch the game till halftime, but my wonderful wife stayed up the rest of the game. I had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go to work. And, you know, I wanted to see it. But my wife said, you know, it was a great game. And then hearing everything, I still haven't seen the highlights. I haven't even seen the Aguilar thing. I've been working crazy, but, I'm not freaking out. It was the second, string in. We had a chance to win the game the whole time against a formidable team at their place, you know, and they came up a bad loss. But the only thing I'm worried about is the start. We got to fix that. That's the only problem I see. And I even told you guys a couple weeks ago, the one thing I was watching was the coaching staff, and I still don't feel like they've changed. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, I feel like I'm watching the same. I feel like I'm watching the same coaching staff as last year. Like in terms of schematically and talking about evaluating themselves, as Jeff McClain asked them yesterday. Yeah, or 2 days ago. Yeah, I feel like I'm watching the same team.
I just, you know, and like Trey was saying, you know, sometimes the best coaches are the players on the field. I used to tell the kids last year, even on middle school, tell us what you see so we can adjust. We don't get to see it from your point of view. So bring us back some info so that we can change. So I don't know if there's, if they're not talking or they're not communicating to each other, but I just feel like it takes, you know, them in at halftime and looking at it on TV together. Then they come out with the adjustments where it's a day late and a dollar short. We shouldn't be having to play from behind. We're too good of a team to be playing from behind. So that's why I'm not worried. Now, if we got beat 42-3 in that game, I'd be extremely worried right now. But we had a chance to win, so I'm not throwing it fire sale yet, if you catch what I'm saying. And I hope everybody has a great day.
You as well, Chuck. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, it's like that's always the narrative when we break down stuff. Oh, here we go. Sports Talk Radio going crazy over a lot.
Nobody's
that's
freaking out.
That's not it. It's not freaking out. And you have to realize what sport... If the Eagles would have won that game... They, us, you as fans, you're breaking it down the same way. You can't, what do you sit back and say, close loss, next?
Yeah, no.
That's the whole point of me sitting down watching film. When I sit down and watch film, I look at, okay, we could have done this a little bit better. Or, hey, let's do this or whatever. That's the whole purpose of watching film.
It's the whole purpose of everything. Becoming a better fan, becoming a better team, a better coach. You know, you evaluate after wins and losses. You look at what didn't go right and you try to make it better.
20 years ago, this wasn't available to us.
Right. I said to Trey earlier this morning when we were on a break, I said, you know, I've been watching this game a long, long time. I've never learned so much about offensive and defensive line, the intricacies of it, than I have in the year knowing him. And, like, that's what this is all about. That's why we're here.
No, absolutely. And we'll get into a little bit more, but I know that, Chuck was just talking about some of the guys that are on the fire sale mode, and I don't think anybody's on that, really.
No.
And we're certainly not. But Adam Schefter did give us the top three teams that make sense to him as to where Jalen Ramsey will land. We'll let you hear what Adam Schefter had to say about that because he joined us at 8 o'clock today, as he does every Wednesday. And, the Eagles were on that list. But let's get Scott Barrington real quick. What's going on, Scott?
Brother Mark, what's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Gentlemen of the jury, what's happening back there?
What's up?
Not good, man. Good.
Brother Trey, you was preaching, man. I know they got quiet over there, but I thought I was in church, man. I was over here just your knowledge. Thank you for that. But two quick questions. I know you got to get going. I want to bring up the past, but do you think they're using Howard wrongly like they used DeMarco Murray when he got here?
Using him wrongly by how? Like by putting him in gun formation?
Yes, sir. If he's supposed to be a power back, when they get near the end zone, to punch in, or am I, wrong for thinking like that, or anything like that?
No, I still think you need to be more effective at the point of contact. I still think that, at the end of the day, now the way Chip used to run it is totally different, where right. It was all this sweeping outside zone. It took a long time for things to develop. The way the blocking situation was set up was not, didn't work for having, what's my man's name again?
DeMarco Murray?
Yeah, DeMarco Murray. It was a slower setup for him. I think you still have to be a little bit more effective at the way the guard is playing and getting push. You got to still create push. I think that you're getting too much push back on our end, and it's throwing off what the running backs have to do.
Okay, thanks for the answer. Last but not least, fellas, again, enjoy listening to you guys. Love
thanks,
you.
Thanks, brother.
But what do you think? What do you think is the real reason why Ramsey isn't here with the Eagles right now? Let's stand to Frost once again. Peace. God bless to you.
If you're the Jags, you're not making the deal now.
Yeah.
If you're the Jags, you're fielding. Offers right now.
Thursday night.
They do. Yeah. It's quick. But
do they play him 100% of the time?
I think we'll know how close they are by how much he plays.
Well, he did come out with a quote saying, look, if I'm here, I'm playing 100%. I want to win. He said all the right things.
Okay.
Which would make them put him in. If he was saying, I want out of here publicly and then moping like that, I don't even know if you could play him.
Yeah.
That's a tough slope.
Mm-hmm. Or it would benefit the Eagles if he was being even more of a bad seed, which is odd to say after a guy almost fought his coach on the sidelines of the game.
That's pretty bad.
But I'm saying if he goes even more publicly with it and starts talking about it more and more, then that forces the Jags' hand even more. I don't know if you think that, does that help his case to get moved? By being the good soldier in press conferences?
I would think
it does, right?
Couldn't hurt. I was looking at it that way. Say something, whatever. If it doesn't hurt you, it's okay.
All right, coming up in a minute.
He just wants to bleep and win.
All right, do we have the Adam Schefter stuff?
Yeah.
All right, here's Adam Schefter when we asked him about Jalen Ramsey and the likely spots. According to Adam Schefter, where are the most likely spots right now? His gut feeling, what's it tell him?
I would guess Seattle would be interesting. People have floated Kansas City, which I don't see as much as the other people. I don't see them as a viable place. Seattle makes sense to me. Philly makes sense to me. Cleveland makes some sense to me. Those would be some teams that I would look at right there, I think.
All right. Now, that was Seattle, Cleveland, and Philadelphia. Kicking the tires, at least. Mm-hmm. And that's where, to Adam Schefter, NFL Insider ESPN, says that makes the most sense to him. He went out of his way. You could see it. You could hear it right there talking about how other teams around the league or other insiders might say Kansas City could be in on it. That doesn't make sense to Adam Schefter, but what does is Seattle, Cleveland, and right here, Philadelphia. 610-632-0975. Coming up a little bit later, I want to get into the conversation that we started earlier regarding Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. And unrelated, I also want to get into the conversation we had a little bit earlier regarding Gabe Kapler and whether or not the Phillies will actually move on from him after this year, because when we were joined by Jason Stark yesterday, he gave us a little nugget about Gabe Kapler that could be the reason for his dismissal.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger than anything else, this man could be deciding that. But right now, we'll get to Nick coming up in a minute as well. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic is 9:23.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Jamie, what do you have there with Ian Rappaport reporting?
Literally, Rappaport just tweeted this. makes sense. With the Jaguars playing the Titans tomorrow night, a trade of Pro Bowl cornerback Jalen Ramsey prior to the game is unlikely.
All right.
Friday is the most likely target date, sources say.
All right. So now we have to watch Chris Mortensen's
Twitter
account.
So he's going to play on Thursday and Sunday this week. Way to go, Jalen.
Now we have to watch Chris Mortensen to see if he tweets out a rat emoji. See if the internal battle continues there. I just, you know.
You just like to feed the fire.
Writer fight.
Uh-huh.
Love it. All right, coming up, we'll let you hear from Jason Stark. We'll also let you hear a little bit more from our boy Adam Schefter, because he also talked about people trying to involve Zach Ertz in the deal. That's by people. I mean, when we asked him about that, we had heard some fans bring it up on this very radio station over the last 24 hours as to whether or not the Eagles would move on from one of their tight ends. Maybe Zach Ertz. Business-wise, it would make sense. Football-wise, not so much. Nick in Willow Grove, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, bud.
All right.
So, we all see Jordan Howard doing well the first 2 weeks. Why aren't the coaches giving him the ball more?
I don't know.
That's one thing, and we all see it. So something needs to happen with our running backs, and just get on the ball more and see what he does.
Seems like a good strategy. The guy's averaged over 1,000 yards per season over the last 3 years. Go ahead and give him that ball.
I'm not saying it because he's on my fantasy team. I'm saying it because
we didn't know your credibility just went out the window, Nick.
This is where the lawyer in your trial case goes, okay, stop talking. Stop talking.
And how do you guys see the receiving core these next 2 weeks without Jeffrey and Deshaun?
Yeah, that's a rough one. Wait, hold on. Are either of those guys on your fantasy team?
Nope, neither.
All right, just making sure. Thanks for the call, Nick. Appreciate it, man. That is going to be a tough nut to crack. Especially if it's a lot more Mac Hollins, especially if it's a lot more at least targets at J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who was only targeted, what, 4 times?
Yeah.
On Sunday night? I think he's a talented wide receiver. He obviously needs to get more wide open, or the quarterback needs to trust him a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But for a guy that is supposed to be like Alshon Jeffrey, maybe you do have to trust him if you're a quarterback. Now, he has to earn that trust. He has to make a play for you to earn that trust. But he also needs an opportunity for it. And he was out there for, what, 70 plays?
Yeah. He's running with the snaps. Ones now in practice, so now's the time.
It's going to be Nelson Agholor, it's going to be J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, and it's going to be Mac Hollins. And then after that, it's going to be your tight ends, given whether or not Dallas Goedert's healthy. So there's a lot of targets right here that you went into the season with, and one was supposed to be a breakout star in Miles Sanders from how he was built in the preseason. And he's not getting those gains like he was in the preseason. And right now, look, Miles Sanders has 21 carries so far this season to Jordan Howard's 14. Jordan Howard's running like a pro, because guess what Jordan Howard is?
A pro.
A pro. So it works out rather well. He has almost four and a half yards per carry to Miles Sanders' 2.5. Yeah, Jordan Howard should be getting more touches here. Now, the other thing is, I want to get back into that play a little bit later, but for the baseball fans out there, Phillies won last night. 5-4 victory. Hector Neris made it interesting in that ninth inning in Atlanta. But the Phillies began their 11-game road trip, and I was convinced, and I've been saying this even though I've been off the Gabe Kapler bandwagon for quite some time, not that I was ever on it, but I'm not the first person to jump on a fire the coach or manager, as we've talked about many times. I'm not the person to jump on that bandwagon. I think that's the low-hanging fruit. You're hired to get fired, Bob, as we've mentioned before.
That's right.
But what Jason Stark said yesterday was the first time that my eyebrows raised when Jason's talking about the out plan, if you will. The in case of emergency, break glass and hit this button plan. And the guy that would break that glass would be John Middleton. When we asked Jason Stark about it yesterday, if you're asking me, I'm firing Gabe Kapler. The team, I don't think, is going to because of Matt Klentak. But if you are in that camp that wants to move on from Kapler, the one guy to do it would be John Middleton. Take a listen to what Jason Stark told us yesterday.
Yeah, especially John Middleton.
Yeah.
If you go back and ask, why did the hitting coach get fired? They've never said this was John Middleton's idea. But don't we think he pushed for that? Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, certainly.
All right. And I would say the forces that drove him to push them to do that could drive him to push them to do other things.
Is Jay Middles meddling?
Jay Middles.
Is he a meddling owner? Or is he just a guy saying, hey, just let me know what check to sign and how much to make it out for and who to?
Can owners meddle?
Absolutely.
I mean, I know what you're saying, but isn't that their right?
That's why we call them owners.
I don't know, we don't like it. Like, you know, the Jerry Jones of the world, all that stuff, George Steinbrenner's, all that. But it's kind of their right. They can, damn straight, it's their property.
Yeah, what's my title? Owner? Yeah. I'll do what I damn well please.
I'm sorry, everybody that has a P on anything that you're wearing right now, I own you. You know, like, so meddling, sure.
Or you could be like the NBA and you now have investors.
They're good point. Yes.
But I mean, really, if I'm the lead investor, yeah, guess what? I still can call the shots. But do we like it when an owner meddles in it? Now, if the guy is also pushing your agenda, then yeah, hey, let's party.
Well, what's the last thing he really meddled in?
Who, John Middleton?
Definitely.
John Middleton?
That Bryce Harper guy fell in love. His wife fell in love with Middleton's wife and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that's the reason Bryce came here.
That's right.
Okay.
We felt like we were talking to a family.
Yeah.
And you were.
Meddle as you want, and it Mr. worked. Middleton.
Exactly. Yes. That's what it seems like right now. I've just don't look. One thing you can say about Gabe Kapler is that with the record number of roster players you've had so far this season,
mm-hmm.
Gabe Kapler has kept it interesting into September. The team has kept it interesting into September. I kind of got the feeling they were a playoff team a while back, like most people did. But look, they were there.
They still are, Mark. They're only four back.
You two in your
Trey.
Still got a chance, baby.
Four with 13 to go.
Hey.
Stranger things have happened.
Now, Jason's not going to come out and say, oh, yeah, Gabe Kapler's getting fired. But when he also looks at guys like Joe Maddon and also alludes to the other guys in this coaching class that could become available. Joe Girardi is another guy out there that's available. You mentioned Mike Socia, Jamie, a second ago, another local guy. You have a guy from Hazleton and Joe Maddon. You have a guy from, what, Upper Darby in Mike Socia? I think people would be excited to see those names come to Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And really, taking over for Gabe Kapler, it's not big shoes to fill for most people.
No.
It's not like he's leaving a huge, like, oh, no, we have a longing for another manager that can be better than Gabe Kapler. Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard.
No. I don't know anyone that'll wear the aviator sunglasses maybe as well.
No one will present as beautifully as Gabe.
No, pen so snugly fit right into the uniform there and the stopwatch. Mm. I don't know, Trey. That might be hard to replace. Maybe we're undervaluing that.
That right.
I tell you what, there's no one. I don't know. I see how Uncle Charlie was loving on his players, but man, no one that's going to love on those players like Gabe.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
All right, what's on your minds?
Those guys.
Kyle just tweeted me in, dare we call him John Middleton?
Come on!
Kyle Brown, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for that.
Literally?
Now, the last thing for you. For anyone that wants to incorporate one of the tight ends, most notably Zach Ertz, to move back to football, Adam Schefter doesn't really see that making much sense for having Zach Ertz involved in any deal for Jalen Ramsey.
That would surprise me. You've got a team that is ready and willing to compete for a Super Bowl title this year, and you're going to give up arguably Carson Wentz's favorite target. Like, okay, so the defense just got better, and you just weaken the offense. I don't see that happening.
So would you then move Dallas Goedert? And really, if I'm looking at the next 5 years, I ain't moving Dallas Goedert.
No.
If I'm looking at this year, I still don't want to move Dallas Goedert. For a couple of reasons. One, I don't know about trade value, given whatever might happen with his injury now. And the other is, at least you can trust Dallas Goedert to do what he did in the Jacksonville Jaguars game last year in London, which is catch the ball and run after he catches it, which is something we never see from Zach Ertz.
And he can block really well.
He's got that down. Zach Ertz has gotten, become a better blocker as his NFL career has gone on. Yeah. But Dallas Goedert has come into the game as a pretty decent blocker. Trey, that's one thing you've sang his praises from already.
Uh-huh.
That how much Dallas Goedert can block better than Zach Ertz.
He's definitely a much better, when it comes to run blocking, creating movement out there at the tight end position.
All right.
Everybody knows that.
All right, well, there we go. You guess what? If you like this football conversation, and Trey, you've been breaking it down rather well, break it down a little bit further tonight in the football world, where you could join the Ron Jaworski Show from 6 to 7 o'clock with Ron Jaworski. That show live from Valley Brook Country Club with special guest Jason Avant. Jason Avant will be on hand tonight.
Sensational.
Great enough for you. You want to talk a little bit about those wide receivers, what they're going to do from this point on? Jason Avant's right there for you, folks.
Yeah, man.
Jason Avant will break it down. Also, you heard me mention this earlier. We got the Mrs. T's Pierogies Tailgate Showdown. If you want to win $500, a $500 Visa gift card, and a year's supply of Mrs. T's pierogies. Well, Mrs. T's pierogies is hosting the Mrs. T's pierogies tailgate showdown with me, Mark Farzetta, Anthony Gargano, Mike Missinelli on Sunday, October 6th. That's right. Three finalists will be selected from all entries to compete for a grand prize. Go to 975thefanatic.com to enter your Mrs. T's pierogies recipe for a tailgate. That's right. Contest entry period ends September 30th. Three finalists will be selected from all the entries to compete for the best winning recipe for a chance to win the grand prize. See the official contest rules for all details online at 975thefanatic.com. If you don't have a recipe, but you want to attend the event, go to our contest page and you can enter to win an invitation to the event itself. 610-632-0975. If you want to get in on the final segment coming up, once again, let's hear the rest of Adam Schefter for who he thinks are the most likely candidates to land Jalen Ramsey. Time of the Fanatic, 940.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Oh boy, let the conspiracy theories eat. So Jason Martinez comes in. No, this is serious. This is actually serious. Jason runs in here and he goes, yo, had you seen this tweet from McLean? McLean, 5 minutes ago, right around when we went to break, said that the Eagles have changed their media schedule for today and took Carson Wentz off the list of news conferences. We'll get further information. We'll get further info regarding his practice availability as soon as possible. Then he also said the Eagles said that they forgot to include Wentz on the updated schedule and that he will be talking during open locker room instead of the usual podium session that he'll have.
You're in there a lot more than me. That's usually something reserved for only like end of the year.
Yeah, asking for the quarterback to address the media
in
at
the
locker room is
a mess.
Just like, hey, I'll just, I'll just have a concert, basically, in the little locker room.
Yeah, that's weird. Do you ever recall that?
It's a clown car, is what it is.
Do you ever recall that with the quarterback in the locker room?
The only time was last year at the end of the season,
yeah.
Carson addressed the media.
When he was having his Woogie breakout.
Yeah, I think that's officially how I have it on my calendar.
When Woogie Neck showed up, it was not good.
But that was at the end of the season.
Yeah, that was the end of the year.
There wasn't a lot of people in the locker room.
I don't ever recall open locker room quarterback media sessions.
The change is because the Eagles have canceled practice for Wednesday.
What?
This is according to Jeff McLean, which Jeff McLean says he can't recall ever happening for a Sunday game after a Sunday game. So Carson doesn't speak at the podium. He speaks at his locker. Okay, strange, but not like, oh, God, something's wrong. And then they cancel practice. Trey,
never.
Former player in the room. What the hell's going on here?
I have no idea.
This makes no sense.
Now, there's something on Twitter that says last year they went to walkthroughs on Wednesday, but that was late in the season.
This is very odd behavior from the Eagles. I mean, it's just
is it because so many guys are out? You're just doing walkthroughs?
That doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know. I me neither.
Trey, would you, if you were coaching this team right now, I mean, you played in a much different era, obviously, with Andy Reid and two-a-days and all that stuff, but then you also coached with Chip Kelly. Would this ever happen? If you're calling the shots?
No. I mean, there's a lot that needs to be worked on.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, if Goddard, Alshon, and Deshaun are out, wouldn't you want more time with JJ and Mac Collins?
Yeah, it just seems like you would need a little bit more work with your other guys. I don't know.
Does him and JJ look lost together on Sunday?
Right now, there's a little snowball at the top of a mountain.
Yeah.
A tiny snowball that's being pushed down, and that's going to be an avalanche before we know it.
Could it be because you're also playing again on Thursday? You know, late game, maybe. Now, Zach Berman, here's what his tweet was. Eagles shifted to Wednesday walkthroughs late last season, but that came in the final weeks of the season. Eagles do have two games in the next 10 days.
Yeah, but wouldn't that be a decision?
I'm not agreeing.
I'm thinking that would be a decision for next week.
Leg saver? Earlier? Is this, I don't know, sports science? Load management?
I mean, you could take the pads off.
This makes zero.
Shells?
Yeah, I don't know.
Bob, don't, come on.
I don't know.
Bob, give me the theory that you gave me. Now, here's the conspiracy theory. Jamie, I need the music for this as to why they would do that. Bob, what's the conspiracy theory?
I even forgot what I made up.
Oh, no, it was brilliant.
Well, so they're taking Carson out of the auditorium and putting him in, because you need that auditorium for something else. You need to announce the big trade.
Oh, Bobby!
There it is.
You're on the NC and wrap up before.
So is that why you have a walkthrough so you can get him up to speed?
So you have a walkthrough today, you go full speed to Mars, and then he's there full speed first day. Boom.
I would love nothing more than to do the show tomorrow.
Made that up so people don't
think. No, Bob, all this is going to come to fruition.
I think that's solid, though. That's good journalism by you, buddy.
Did I hear you say per sources? You said sources. Multiple sources.
Yeah, you know how Bobby is about sources. Bob,
I am reporting.
I don't do anything without 17 sources.
Hey, big Bobby, I've witnessed Bobby check
bad
reporters.
Boy journalism.
You better have your sources right with Big Bobby on the case.
And furthermore,
when he starts
that wasn't furthermore.
When he starts using furthermore, we were on the golf course. When Bobby starts throwing out furthermore, you're in trouble.
Yeah, I did throw out a furthermore.
And furthermore, wow. A fortnight from now, we should know whether or not Jalen Mills is an Eagle. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, about that wonderful deal. I used to use Fortnite. I'm excited. Fanatic Deal of the Week saves you money. Listen to this. $50 gift certificate to the pub in Pensauken. You can get that for the Fanatic Deal of the Week. $50 gift certificate to the pub in Pensauken for just $25. Half the price right there, Trey. Hurry for this exclusive offer at the Fanatic Deal of the Week. Only available while supplies last. Check it out now at Fanatic. All right, 975thefanatic.com, keyword deal. Real quick, let me hear from Adam Schefter one more time. Who were the finalists in his mind? Adam Schefter, gut feeling in the early goings. Jalen Ramsey sweepstakes. Adam Schefter, when he joins us at 8 o'clock, who did he say?
I would guess Seattle would be interesting. People have floated Kansas City, which I don't see as much as the other people. I don't see them as a viable place. Seattle makes sense to me. Philly makes sense to me. Cleveland makes some sense to me. Those would be some teams that I would look at right there, I think.
Cleveland, Seattle, and Philadelphia. Finalists in Adam Schefter's mind, which is a pretty good mind to be in for consideration here for Jalen Ramsey. Sam Wilson, do you have a final on some of our Twitter questions today?
This morning, our Twitter question was brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. We asked, is there any movie you want to see remade? John DeStefano tweeted in, the good, the bad, and the ugly with Citizens Bank Park is the good, the Phillies offense is the bad, and the Phillies pitching staff as the ugly.
All right.
So I thought that was
crazy. I like that. He tied it in locally. That's good stuff.
By the way, we just heard from a very credible birdie.
Oh, yeah?
It doesn't have anything to do with Carson Wentz being injured. Apparently, more rest with 2 games in 11 days is it.
Okay.
We'll see if that's true.
They knew their schedule ahead of time, right?
Awesome.
You like that?
that is just awesome.
Oh, come on.
We were just crying to Big Red. Man, can we take these pads off? Man, that is beautiful.
Okay.
Maybe get a little massage.
Oh, yeah.
A little acupuncture. Watch
that
film.
Is amazing.
Man, it's good to be an NFL player these days.
Yeah, that is awesome, man. Kudos.
What's harder now, being an NFL player or being a talk show host, Trey? What do you think?
Oh, no.
hours are worse.
Let's get our takeaways of the day in here. Sam Wilson, what do you have for us?
This morning, a couple people were tweeting in at us that they were worried Kansas City was going to land Ramsey, but after talking to Shefty, he put all those fears to the side.
There you go. Jamie Lynch, take away there.
I think Jacksonville would be pretty dumb to play Jalen Ramsey on Thursday night. I don't necessarily feel the Rappaport tweet about Friday being the day.
All right.
I think if they were smart, they'd get moving on that today or tomorrow.
I'm with you. Bob Cooney, take away there.
Kudos to Sam. If the Princess Bride is remade, Joel Embiid as Fezzik. Originally played by Andre the Giant.
Thanks for the credit.
Anybody want a peanut?
Don't get you.
Man, I'm trying to be dumb there.
That's right, Thomas. Take it with
just
that.
Because we break down the film and all of that does not mean that we've lost faith in Ginger Jesus.
Damn right.
He's still going to lead this team to the promised land.
Hell yeah.
Everybody relax. This is what we do.
My takeaway of the day really goes back to yesterday. And I might be in the locker room today where I'll play a little ditty for our man Malcolm Jenkins.
Play a little ditty.
Little ditty. Little George Clinton in the Parliament Funkadelic.
Yeah.
What do I got to play?
Parliament Funk, Atomic Dog.
Yeah,
what was the ditty?
The song.
Oh, yeah, no, it's Atomic Dog, though.
Somebody not sing Diddy. It. I don't know what it is.
Don't worry about it. It's Atomic Dog.
Stay tuned for your Get Over Tina's Middays here on 97.5
The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.